Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome right here to our Community Connection. It's our Cities Matters program here, and we have with us here Mike Bailey, City Manager, and a cast of hundreds right here in the studio. And because we really can't get 6 feet apart, we're masked up like banditos. How are we doing there, sir?
We can barely get 2 feet apart in here, Tom.
Well, I'll work on it. I'll talk to somebody.
I don't know who, but
I'll talk to somebody.
Go ahead and knock this wall out.
Oh, no, no.
Fire. It looks like an important wall over there.
Yeah, we might have to call John and the fire department down here. That happened. What we got going on today?
Well, we've got some really crappy weather, which I'm going to let Keith talk about.
Well, good Lord, we do.
I'll let him talk about all that here in a minute, but we'll talk about the things that happened when weather was a little bit nicer last week first.
All right.
First off, Keith's here now. He was off last week when this happened, but he was instrumental in helping to arrange this. But we had a volunteer tree planting day at Douglas Park. I think Keith said last Monday, Tuesday.
Two weeks ago.
You're right. It was the day after the last radio program. That's how I knew we hadn't talked about it too much. So we had a great event. A combination of planning between the Westside Community Center, the City of Bartlesville, the Parks Department, and a large volunteer turnout as well. We ended up planting 8 trees around the track out at Douglas Park, and wanted to thank everybody who was involved, specifically the Westside Community Center. Laurent Carney is the director out there, and Laurent did a great job of helping to coordinate this. Jim Curd, City Council member Jim, was very much involved in this as well. Vice Mayor Gentius has been involved with Douglas Park since he was elected. And then Bobby Robinson, who works for Keith. Bobby did an incredible job organizing this, making sure we had everything we needed and keeping everybody moving and organized. But it wasn't just volunteers, although we definitely do want to thank them. I think we had a group of about 6 volunteers that turned out that were a great help. Also had three Parks Department employees who were out there. And anyway, everybody had a good time. We managed to plant all the trees, and it really did make a big difference in the way that park looks. I don't know if you've had a chance to drive by and look at it.
Yeah, it looks really nice out there. Definitely made a difference in the...
It really, really improved it. And we've also got some other projects coming up for Douglas Park. We've got another 14 trees that we're planning to plant out there. We've got a replacement of the track where we planted the trees. There's a new track that's going to go in around those. We've got a shelter that's going to go in out there. We got some parking improvements as well. So quite a bit of improvement coming to Douglas Park that we're excited about. It's one of our older parks that we actually, I think we Bobby and I were talking about the history of that. That was actually the old Douglas High School practice field. A locker room and practice field, and so the city took that from the school district and built a park there. But anyway, it's long due for an overhaul, and it's certainly in the way. And Tom, hopefully the weather will be a little bit improved in the next week as we come up on Halloween. We'll see, but no guarantees. But wanted to let everybody know we've gotten a lot of questions about guidelines for trick or treating and things of that nature. The city has not issued any of those. Mm-hmm. The only guidelines that are out there that I'm aware of are the ones that were issued by the CDC. So we did print those in the City Beat. If you have that, you can look at those. Again, these are just guidelines that are issued by the CDC. These are not things that are being enforced by the city or by anybody else. But for people who were curious, that is out there. You can go look either on City Beat or the city website, or you can go out to CDC and just search for CDC Halloween guidelines. And you all might have even had some of that information up on your website.
We certainly had a couple of times.
So a lot of places for people to go to look for that. And speaking of things that are coming up towards, I believe it's towards the end of this month. Yeah, I think October 28th, I think, is when they're expecting it. There'll be some lane closures on Adams Boulevard. And, of course, we know it as Adams Boulevard. The state of Oklahoma knows that as Highway 60.
Yep.
And Adams Boulevard is Highway 60 between Highway 75 and Highway 123. So it's about a 4-mile stretch there, I think, 3 to 4 mile. And the state has planned a complete rebuild of this road. It's a complete rebuild. There's some It's a resurfacing and then some other improvements along there. These initial lane closures won't be for construction. This will actually be for the survey and the initial design step. So if you see those lane closures, please be aware of them and also understand that is coming. And it will be really inconvenient when the state is redoing Adams, but at the same time, we're really looking forward to it. It is definitely time for that road to be redone, so it's a good project. And while we're talking about it, there are several ODOT projects that are coming up that are scheduled in the city of Bartlesville. These are all in the 8-year plan. So don't expect any of these to be done next week. It will be sometime between now and the next 8 years they should be doing that project, which would be Adams Boulevard between Highway 75 and Highway 123. The Adams 75 overpass, which of course is right there at the Highway 60, or the Adams Boulevard and Highway 75. Cherokee Bridge is in, I believe it's designed now, and should be moving to construction relatively soon. There's also a Highway 75 resurfacing, which will do most of Highway 75 through the city of Bartlesville. And then for anybody who was hoping that I was going to say that 123 on Hensley, that is not included. So, for anybody who is, if you don't like the way Hensley looks from 123 out, in other words, from the Cherokee Bridge back to the west, that is, we do receive calls on that, of course, and most people think that's a city street, but it actually is an ODOT funded and a state highway. So we don't have anything to do with that other than encouraging the state to do what they can to try to keep that up. But unfortunately, it was not included in the 8-year plan, but we'll keep working on that. And if you really have a strong opinion about it, feel free to call the state and let them know your opinion about the condition.
They love hearing from you.
Yeah. Or if you would like, you can always call us and we'll refer your information on.
And they love hearing from you too.
they might be getting tired of hearing from us, but we do have some great projects coming up in that 8-year plan. We're really excited. That's just the one that we had really hoped would be included at some point, but it unfortunately is a little bit lower priority highway for the state. One last thing before I kick this over to Keith and he can talk about all the great weather that we got. I personally blame Keith for this weather.
No,
to
you
tell you the truth.
I
blame Keith for any businesses in Bartlesville who have who are required to have a business license or currently have a business license. We went through a software upgrade. Now those business licenses actually expire on June 30th. But as we went through the software upgrade, essentially we did not send out reminders. We weren't out pounding the pavement trying to get people to renew those. We are now sending out reminders. However, this is essentially there's a grace period because of the software upgrade. So we won't be assessing penalties or anything of that nature for people who've paid late. It's just now we're out there trying to get caught up and get people notified that they need to renew those business licenses. So you might be contacted here at some point. If you aren't contacted, you're still required to have your business license. So we would like for everybody to get those done as quickly as possible. But we'll be glad to assist as we work through that. All right, Mr. Keith, it's your time to shine. So
Keith, I didn't call you this morning because I already saw the trucks out. So don't mind, I wasn't ringing your phone like you normally do.
Well, I think everybody's concerned about the weather that's coming up. The guys actually did some prep work last week looking at the forecast that was coming. We had a couple trucks that were already prepped and ready to roll just in case something happened this weekend. The guys in the street department, Lance and the crew, are continuing to work on the trucks today. Typically, usually the week of November around Thanksgiving is when we do a lot of our prep work. That's more seasonal for us.
We're a little early
this year, but we are ready. We do have material on hand if needed, and we do have crews and equipment that's ready to go. So we'll just wait and see what the weather does. Looks like we're kind of right on the edge of things. Obviously, the temperature is going to play a big part in it. Ice is usually worse than the snow, so you know, it could be pretty severe. Hopefully we'll miss it and nothing to worry about.
You want to let folks know to our west in Osage County, they just posted a freezing rain or an ice storm warning, I should say, till 7 o'clock tomorrow Tuesday. Night.
Right.
And because part of Bartlesville hangs over there in the Osage.
It does. It
gotta,
does.
Got to be mindful of that, too.
Yeah. And this kind of remind everybody, I mean, you can go to the City of Bartlesville's website, and I don't think this go-around we'll be looking at any snow, but our snow and ice policy is posted on our website. Kind of tells how we go about addressing those issues, what areas we treat, and how we treat those areas. So if you're just curious and want to know and got some time to do some reading, that is available there on our website, cityofbartlesville.org.
And Keith, as far as that policy, you said that this is probably not going to be snow this time, but given the way that we're kind of taking off here with bad weather, we might actually have snow this year. And during a snow event, what roads would we typically do first? And then ultimately, we do get into the neighborhoods, but that assumes that we've done all of our other responsibilities first.
We do. We start out, and we do have those prioritized in our plan. Typically, obviously, would be the arterial streets. Then we have collector streets, and then move on down to the residential areas eventually. Now, we do not plow snow in the residential areas. Have a lot of issues when you do that with blocking driveways and problems of that such. So we do plow snow on the major streets, our arterial streets, the collector streets, and we do treat those streets in the residential and in the arterials with a salt sand mixture to aid in the thawing of that material and help get traction when you're out driving around.
You know, you got to watch it, too. We do have some thin streets, bigger cars, and folks like to park on the streets. So,
yep.
Folks, if you're wondering why, well, I don't think we want to be clipping people with that blade, do we?
No. And I know that it seems like in the past when we had a couple of blizzards here, which thankfully we haven't had in a number of years, but we actually did some plowing of the neighborhoods at that time. But it creates issues to where that material has to go somewhere,
yeah.
So it actually blocks the
right.
driveway. So
right.
We do tend to avoid residential areas because of that, if at all possible. But mm-hmm. Obviously, in certain circumstances, we'd have to reconsider what we were doing. But so
here's hoping the only blizzards we got are the ones at Dairy Queen.
I would agree with you,
yeah.
And I'm also hoping that all of this ice prediction over the next few days turns out to be untrue, but we'll
prepared
see.
If it does happen,
right.
And the guys are ready to go.
As a former meteorologist on TV, I'd be happy to be wrong on this one.
I would be very much happy to be wrong on this one. I would agree with you.
We might remind the folks as we're talking about, you know, the upcoming winter and the holiday season on trash collection. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and if your collection day is on Thanksgiving Day, the Thursday, it will be picked up on the Wednesday, the 25th. For the 26th, and then actually we will be working on Friday the 27th. So we will typically, your trash day's on Friday, we're still picking it up on Friday. But for the Thanksgiving Day, it'll be picked up the Wednesday before. Christmas is on the 25th, and we'll pick up your trash on the 23rd. So the Wednesday before Christmas, we'll be picking that up. So keep that in mind as holidays start to roll around towards the end of the year. And one other thing I might mention, I recently went out this past Friday and ran one of our automated trucks. We were pretty short-handed, and it's kind of a good experience for me to get out and see what the guys are experiencing. What I'd like to remind all the citizens is to pay close attention to our city ordinances. The number of violations is pretty outstanding when you get out and start using the trucks and go to service those carts. Some of the key violations that are real critical for our drivers when we're operating those trucks is that the carts are separated at least 5 feet. More is better, but it just makes better for the guys to access the carts for safety, easier for them to dump, and if they're too close together, they can't pick them up.
Yeah.
So it's really critical that they be at least 5 foot or more apart. Another issue is make sure you have your trash out by 6. With a lot of our drivers being off with the current situations of COVID and vacations and sickness, we've had a lot of relief drivers in there. Well, they may not run that route exactly the same as the regular driver does. So you may expect him to come by at 8:05 every day. Well, he may come by at 6 o'clock that morning and you didn't have your trash out. So everybody, if you would, get that trash out by 6 a.m. in the morning, because there's no guaranteed time when we're going to be by there. Could it be any time between 6 and 4 when we come by. Another thing is really important that you bag your trash when you put it in those carts. most all of the carts that I was dumping Friday, there was a lot of loose trash, which creates problems with trash blowing out in the neighborhoods, and we don't want that. We want to keep our neighborhoods clean. So if you can, put all that trash in a bag and put it in the cart. The lids need to be closed and everything in the cart. I had several carts where there's stuff stacked on top of it. Again, you can go to our website, cityofbartlesville.org, and look all those ordinances up, and it'll help you and it'll help us both.
I appreciate that, Keith. And the distance from the carts have to be at least five feet away from any obstruction.
Yep.
But if you have more than one cart, they also have to be 5 feet apart.
They do, yes.
So you can't set your two carts side by side. There's no way to pick them up because of the way the arms operate.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like a finger, and it goes out and grips it. Well, it's open when it goes towards the cart, and then you close it, so it's got to have the room for when it's open to get around the cart, but also keep it away from mailboxes, parked cars, things like that. One other thing, leaf and grass collection's coming up.
Thank you.
December the 7th through the 11th, so on your normal collection day of that week, the 7th through the 11th of December, put out your leaves and grass in bags, doesn't matter what kind of bag, no sticker is required. We'll pick those up on the same day. It won't be the same truck probably as far as your automated truck. It'll probably be a rear load truck that comes by and gets those, and have those out, and we'll get them. We'll also take brush if it's bundled up in the bundles, 4 feet, no more than 50 pounds, but we are not taking extra refuse. This is all leaf and grass collection. If you have the extra refuse, you'll need to put the red sticker out like you normally would on the bag, and they'll get it that way.
Sticks, got to do the 4 foot thing and bundle them properly. Yep. And everything else like that.
Yes, sir.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Keith. I appreciate that.
You bet.
Anything else other than make sure everybody knows to be careful?
Everybody stay safe out there. Yep. We'll hopefully miss it.
Slow down and let's hope for the best.
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
I appreciate it, Keith. We're going to bring in our relief pitcher here. Next up is Terry. He's kind of been in the on-deck circle back there.
There you go.
We debated whether or not we're going to let him sit down, but I guess we'll let him sit in.
I think I got stiff. Got cold sitting back there, so I don't know.
You're going to have to warm up here.
Give me a couple minutes to kind of loosen up.
Yeah. He was sitting on the metal chair, so yeah. Oh my, that's not good for anybody.
Just don't expect much for the first minute or two, okay?
Oh, that's just normal, right?
Yeah.
Well, Terry's got a quick update here. I know it's hard to imagine using an outdoor space right now, but this weather will go away, and we will be back to normal. And I think we've got one project left at Tower Center that's kind of to wrap that up, and that was dealing with an art installation.
We do. It's what we're calling the second phase of the Tower Center project, but it involves installing an interactive art area really on the south lawn, just directly south of the stage. So we've done a bit of work up to this point where council went out and the design committee went out for kind of a competition on art pieces to see, you know, what artists kind of came up with for the different components or facilities that would be through there. And they selected an artist out of Overland Park, Kansas. Her name is Amy Jacobson, but she came up with a really neat idea to integrate the state flower, which is the Indian blanket flower. And she's proposing to install 9 of those with some kind of bees and some accessories, I guess, to that. And then we're also going to integrate with that some a water feature, kind of a splash pad type of thing that would water the flowers. And then we're going to put some additional rock in that area to kind of help frame it and really make it kind of a neat feature for us. But this was back in, I think around April, May time frame is when that artist was commissioned to move forward with it. And so we're kind of getting to the point where we're ready to start the improvements for it. So her art piece will be ready probably mid to late November. We need to do all the site work and prep for that, and we're looking to have that ready to go probably in the early December time frame, roughly. And so we're kind of still working through that. Everything obviously is going to be contingent on weather, especially as this week has shown for us, and especially this time of year, you can get weeks with wonderful weather, kind of real mild conditions, and then weeks where really you can't do anything. So ideally we'd like to have it complete before Christmas, assuming everything really goes kind of as planned or traditionally with weather that we get, but it could extend maybe into January, just depending on contingencies and weather that gives us there. So anyway, that's moving forward, and we're looking to have probably some work starting mid-month in November, to start some foundation work for the flowers, and then we have some electric and some water feature components to install with that. So we're really targeting early December for the art pieces to come in if everything tracks according to plan, and then we'll have some finish up work on site to kind of make everything shine and bring it all together.
It will be an exciting addition. And that, did you mention how tall the flowers were?
They range in height from about 9 to almost 11 feet. So they'll have varying heights kind of to represent how flowers grow in the wild, and it'll have really some nice, it won't be just a straight pole with a flower on top. She's really integrated some curves and some really neat features with it. So the petals itself will be a stained glass, so it has kind of a nice shine and translucence to it with the sun that goes through there. So really kind of a neat piece, and very innovative. And she's shown us some concepts and some of the work that's occurred to date, and it's really looking good. And I'm excited for that to go in and really be another neat feature within that park.
Yeah, me too. And that is a great project, and we're excited to have that finally wrapped up. Speaking of wrapped up, and I know we're running a little short on time, and I don't want to completely cut Shelley off, but we've got a water reuse project. Terry, can you give just a quick update on where we are with that?
Sure. We are looking, as just to go back in history a little bit, so we had the drought in 2001. We've been looking for water really since that time frame. Earlier this year, we were able to secure about 1 million gallons of water a day from Copan Lake. Which has been a kind of a gargantuan effort and Herculean effort by Senator Inhofe and all of our federal delegation through there. But the other piece that we've been pursuing is to take our water, our treated wastewater, and pump it upstream of the Caney River and let it blend and kind of coincide with the flows, and then reuse it and recapture it at the current intake at Johnstone Park, retreat it and resend it for us. So, we've got the permits through the state, so we're wrapping up some last environmental and easement items with it. Construction plans are ready to go, so once we get the easements and everything secured, then we'll be off and under construction. So likely it's going to happen after the first of the year, just because of the timing with bidding and getting contracts secured. But that's another project that will help kind of solidify our long-term water supply. And we're really looking on the wastewater reuse component of it as a contingency or an insurance. So it's not something that we're going to run every day and use as our primary source. It's really going to be if drought conditions get to a point where Hula, Copan, and our lake at Hudson are really getting kind of stretched thin, then we can utilize that to kind of, spread it out and prolong those water sources until water does come back for us. So,
kind of like today.
Yeah, I mean, we do have droughts, and historically we'll have droughts, and we'll have another drought again.
Yep.
But we've been fortunate that eventually it does rain, and water does get replenished since we use all surface water. So this is really our insurance plan to help kind of tide over those times of drought and water use that we need the additional water to supplement it. So, again, it's been a long planning period for it, so it's been probably 15 to 20 years in the making as far as the Copan Lake. Water reuse has really been only on the table since about 2014, 2015, so that's relatively new in that standpoint, but we're pursuing any and all water and to kind of help shore up the long-term supply and kind of help make everything kind of work as it should during a drought.
Well, and that has been one of our major concerns, so it's good to see that we've got some ways to address that now, hopefully we'll be able to get this one completed on schedule.
Yeah.
Whatever that schedule ends up being.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. And with me also, we have Ms. Shelley McGill. This is the Bartlesville Library Director. And also the museum director. And so she's got quite a few things going on at both those, and wanted to give her a little bit of time to talk about what's going on at those two facilities.
Well, thank you, Mike. The most thing that we're really excited to roll out on November 1st, or actually the 2nd, is the 30 hotspots we just got. We received a grant from, it's called a digital inclusion grant from Oklahoma Department of Libraries. It's a CARES Act grant. And they allowed us to purchase 30 hotspots for residents of Bartlesville. And so we are going to be checking out those hotspots free of service to library patrons. You'll get to keep them for 3 weeks. And they are just so that you can access the internet at no cost to you or your family, for your kids to do their homework or for you just to watch movies. It's just kind of up to you. So we're excited to roll those out. They are available on our website right now so that you can go out and reserve one. I checked before I came in here and there is only 6 of them reserved right now. So if you want a hotspot, it's your time to go out there and reserve one and try it out. It's pretty easy technology, and even some of my staff has decided maybe I'll do this for my Wi-Fi at home because it's pretty cool. So try that. We're also excited that we just got a grant from Rotary, or it's called a sponsorship, and they're going to allow us to buy some lockers for the library. So when you come to the library and you're carrying your backpack and your purse and you really don't want to be burdened by all those things but you can't set them down, we're going to have some lockers that you can go to, kind of like a bus station, put your stuff in a locker, grab the key, and then you can walk around hands-free and look at the library and then go back and get your stuff and leave. So we're excited that Rotary is underwriting that project for us, and that will be I'll be ordering those this week. We're also working on self-checkout. A lot of people, when they come to the library, they don't want to stand in lines, and you know, you just wish you could go over there and check it out yourself. Well, guess what? Within the next 60 days, you're going to be able to. You'll be able to walk up and check out your items and just walk right out the door. So if you still like that personal touch and you want to talk to one of our staff, we'd love that still, and that will still be available, but you'll have a choice. So we're excited about that. One of the things we have this week is Life Hacks, and that's our adulting classes. So if you're between the ages of 16 and 26 and you want to do some learning about adult thing, this week we're gonna have a class, and it's going to be about interviewing for jobs. And nobody likes to do that, and even if you're 46, it's still not a good thing. So our HR director for the city of Bartlesville, Laura, will be there giving some tips and tricks and, you know, things that you can do to make that a successful experience. And then Tri-County Tech is going to be teaching how to make some Halloween treats and doing a video of some cooking segments. So we're excited about that, and we'd ask you to, no reservation necessary. We'll just see you on the 29th, and you can hit our website and get more information or Instagram about that. Looks like I've got just another minute or two, so I'll tell you about our crafting videos we have going on. We have a crafting segment of our library website and Facebook page, and right now we're doing outreach videos because we can't teach classes. So last month they posted a picture on how to make, it's a garden segment, and we've been teaching on how to make butterflies with ceiling fan blades, and they're large and they're pretty, and it's worth your time if you like to decorate like that. They made some outdoor bird baths from reused items that they got at Goodwill. It was great fun. And so check out some crafting videos. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is our partnership with the schools. Right now we have a huge digital library, and the schools have asked us if they can tap into that, and we said absolutely. So the schools are now accessing through their website and their schooling. You can tap into the Bartlesville Public Library and check out books through the schools. So we're excited for both of us. One last thing, and then I'll turn it back to Mike. The History Museum has a new exhibit right now, and you can see it online. You can come in person, and it is on the history of medicine in Washington County, which kind of pertains to our area we're going through right now. So I apologize for the swiftness of all that, but I wanted to get in there what we have going on right now.
And you did really well.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Didn't stumble. It was perfect.
Oh, my goodness sakes. I have to take lessons from you, Shelly.
Well, and I tell you what, I think that everyone that is listening to this will notice that libraries are not the same as they were when we were kids. So come check it out if you haven't in a while. You never know what to expect anymore.
Thank you, one and all, and we'll have news coming up next.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1. For residential